It's wonderful. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. We are on lesson number 2 in Ephesians. And if you need lesson 2, please raise your hand. Brother Ed will pass those out. We have several that need lesson 2. A couple up front, one in the back. Fantastic. Our theme verse for all of Ephesians is Ephesians 1:3. And that is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that is the theme for our study. And the title of Ephesians, we've given, blessed with all blessings. And God is so good. For lesson number 2, our lesson verse is Ephesians 1:5. And so we are going to recite that together. And once you find it, you can see it on your sheet or in the Bible, Ephesians 1:5. We'll say the reference, then the verse, then the reference again, and begin. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. And again, Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 1:5. And we talked about Roman numeral 1, the description of Ephesians, and that is revealing our blessings. And we studied Ephesians 1:1-3. That was several weeks ago. Number 2 is a very large section, and we're going to call that the doctrine, and that is realizing our blessings. And Ephesians 1:4 through chapter 2 and verse 22, and we've started on that, and we broke that down into capital A, our possessions in Christ. And then we broke that down again into number 1, our possessions in Christ from the Father, chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, and that's where we are now. And we started off with his aim and talked about that a little bit. And then small b is his adoption. Talked about that last week. And we dealt with that difficult, difficult word, predestinated. And again, the simple way, and especially as you think of adoption, the simple way to understand that word is, again, it is always based on the foreknowledge of God, because he knows what's going to happen. But in our sense, it is like a couple is going to go to the adoption agency, and they are looking for a child, and they say, whatever child comes to us, we will adopt. No doubt about it, we are making that determination that if a child comes to us, we will adopt them. And that is exactly what predestination is. God says, I will adopt him that cometh to me. And so again, God is not choosing who's going to be saved. God is saying whoever is saved will be adopted into the family. Not only are they adopted, but they are also born again, born from above. And so just a beautiful, beautiful picture. We talked about that last week. Don't want to reteach that lesson. So now we come to the third thing, a small c on the back page or somewhere on yours anyway. And that's dealing with verse 6, and that is his acceptance. His acceptance. So again, we're looking at our possessions in Christ from the Father. We see his aim. We see his adoption. And then we see small c, his acceptance. And we see in verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. One of the blessings is that we are accepted. So I want to talk to you about acceptance this morning. And again, probably we'll get all the way through this as we have been doing. Seems like we should be able to, right? But you never know. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you that it is such a blessing. And the book of Ephesians is all about blessings. And we need to be reminded just how wonderful you are and how you always give good gifts, the best gifts. And with that, we realize we have so many blessings. And so I pray that you will just work in our hearts and our lives. And as Ed said, Lord, we certainly, we need your comfort as we deal with situations that are hard to understand. But we love you, and we know that you love us. And thank you. Thank you for all your blessings. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure everybody has heard that Brother Chuck Pearson has gone to heaven. Went to heaven Thursday night around 11 or so, 11 o'clock. And again, just looking forward to having a beautiful service on Tuesday, 11 o'clock here at the church. You certainly are all welcome to come and remember Chuck. And what a good man, what a godly man. And just a guy that we looked up to, key man in Berean Baptist Church and the ministries here, and all that is here, he had a big part in it, and we praise the Lord for him and, of course, his heritage. And according to Clark, he was a pretty good brother-in-law. So anyway, be praying about that, and be praying that the service will go well. And if there's anyone not saved, that they will trust Christ as their Savior. That is certainly what Chuck would want. Well, we're talking about acceptance. And of course, every time you talk about heaven, you realize that the truth of the matter is not one of us deserves to go there. Not one of us. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace in verse 6. His grace is dealing with God's love for those who don't deserve it. His grace. That's what grace is. That's why it is. The songwriters have capitalized on that by calling it amazing. Amazing. I don't know of anything more amazing than the grace of God. The only thing close might be the mercy of God. And those two go so well together. But acceptance. You know, to enter college, you have to be accepted. And it's interesting, as I've pastored so many young people that go off to college. We try to encourage that. We have always encouraged, I've always said they ought to go at least a year to a Bible college before they decide, you know, just what all they're going to do. So it's always kind of fun as they're sending their applications into different colleges and that. And of course, their ACT scores and all that kind of stuff, and then they'll come in. Oh, you know, I was accepted at, and I was well. The funny thing about a lot of that for Bible colleges, anyway, they pretty much accept anybody if you send in the registration money. I mean, seriously, they're not. You know, it's not like they're trying to impress anyone with the high scores or anything like that. They're trying to see young people do the will of God, but you have to get an acceptance letter to enter the military. You have to have an acceptance. If you've ever applied, and most of us here, we're folks that have been around a few years, we've applied for some type of a loan, maybe an auto loan, and you have to be accepted. You have to fill out all these papers and all those kinds of things to be able to get that loan, to get a mortgage on a house. You have to, they want to know this and this, and then, well, wait a minute, it's none of their business. Well, yes, it is their business if they're going to loan you money. So, you have to be accepted in so many areas, joining clubs and different things, you know, some of the country club atmosphere and all that. Of course, I don't know anything about that, but, there's people have to accept you. And so the same thing is true as far as heaven is concerned. There has to be an acceptance. You know, it's not just everybody can't go to heaven. We know that to be true. And so that's what this verse is talking about. And again, look how it starts off, to the praise of the glory of His grace. That tells us an awful lot about our acceptance. So let me just break this down three ways. First of all, number one is the basis of our acceptance. The basis of our acceptance. How are we accepted? Well, for example, a loan is based on our credit. All right, you know, you have credit score, and people are tracking all of that, and you know, over the years they watch our credit scores, and they want to know what our credit's like. In other words, do we pay our debts like we say we will? They want to know our ability to pay. They want to know how much money do you make, How much do you owe? You know, they're going to keep track of all that. You know, that ratio of whatever the numbers are, your ability to pay them back. And so that's how they're going to determine whether they're going to accept you or not. For a job, for example, you have to be accepted. And that's going to be based on your past. It's going to be based on references, maybe, that you turn in. I always get a kick out of people that question reference. I mean, reference, if I'm going to send in a reference, I'm going to send in a reference from somebody that likes me. Right? I mean, it always seems funny to me that people would expect somebody to put a reference, a name that somebody that doesn't like, you know, that can't stand them or something. But again, if somebody searches back on past jobs or that, they're not necessarily going to get, it could be favorable, it may not be. So a job is going to be based on your past record. It's going to be based on your health, ability to do the job and all of that. But notice all these things that are you know, involved in being accepted, they all have to do with us. Everything has to do with us, you know? And so the basis of our acceptance, for a loan, it's me. For a job, it's all about me. But to get to heaven, it has nothing to do with us. And that is the interesting part about God's acceptance. And it says, and again, it starts off, it tells us to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of God's grace. Our acceptance has nothing to do with our merit. It has nothing to do with our past record. Oh my! If it was based on our past record, we would all be in very, very deep trouble. It is all about God's grace, God's love for the undeserving. We have no merit. You see, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. So immediately, right here, we start off with the basis of our acceptance goes against how we think. It goes against, you know, you start talking about borrowing money and that, and there are so many people, so many agencies out there and people on the internet, and boy, you got to be so careful nowadays, but they're all, you know, get your free credit score, and, you know, I got to check me out, I got to find out. You know, I always get a kick out of that too. The question, do you pay your bills or not? I mean, seriously. Well, I need to know my score. No, you need to, if you pay your bills, you don't need to know your score. Because your score is going to be good. Anyway, I'm meddling now. But the whole thing here is, it goes against our thinking. We have to understand that this has nothing to do with our score. Because on our score, it's not good. Our sinlessness score, it's not very good. We're in trouble. All right? And so he hath made, those are the three key words there. And it has to be done his way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is his way. Okay, and look, if you will, keep your place here, but look at John 17. You might want to write it down, John 17 and verse 22. John 17:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, Jesus speaking here, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And so we become one in Jesus Christ, and that is the only way that we can be accepted. In other words, we are accepted in Christ. It's as if, you know, you I'm sure none of you ever used a fake ID for anything because we're all Christians and we always do right and everything. So don't raise your hand if you haven't. Don't point at your husband if he did or anything like that. But sometimes people will use a fake ID for various things, and we won't even talk about what various things you might use one for. But they're trying to be accepted as a different person. And they themselves, because of age perhaps or because of some other thing, they themselves would not be accepted, so they will use somebody else's identification and hope to be accepted as that person. And that sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't work, but that is exactly how we get to heaven. That's how we are accepted at the pearly gates, if you will. It is, we have to use Jesus' ID. Amen. We have to, and by the way, we don't have to steal it. We just have to accept it. And so, because heaven will never admit sin. Sinfulness cannot be present in heaven. Okay, God can't even, his eyes, the Bible says, his eyes are too pure to look upon sin. It's not going to get into heaven. It's impossible. That's why, you know, people that talk about losing their salvation, they really are missing the truth about how a person gets into heaven in the first place. Because the fact of the matter is, if you lose your salvation, if you can lose your salvation, none of us would go to heaven. Listen to me now, I'm serious. Because there's never a time as a human being that you are sinless. And so if there's never a time as a human being that we are sinless, then how could we enter into heaven? There's only one way we can, and that is I have to go in to the gate with Jesus as Jesus. My sins must be covered by Jesus. My ID must be Jesus, and that's what justification means, just as if I were Christ. You know, it is totally, totally of him. Oh, you say, we have some merit. We have no merit. We have no merit to enter into heaven. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't. He said very clearly he will say well done. But his well done never involves our getting to heaven. Well done that we get to heaven is said to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. It has nothing to do with anything we've done. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And notice what it says, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now watch this. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Don't miss that. That is how you enter heaven. You see, I'd kind of like you to stick on that husbands love your wives for a while. Well, we'll get there in a couple of years. But that is how we are able to enter into heaven. We are in Christ, as it says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Revelation 7:14. Remember the book of Revelation? Long, long ago, we were in Revelation 7. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Again, it's all about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the only way we can be accepted is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must take on his ID. And that is the only way we can be accepted into heaven. So the basis of our acceptance, number two here, is the biblical examples of our acceptance. Now, there's a couple of things. We are, first of all, we're accepted as a newborn baby is accepted. John chapter 3, we love the story, and again, it is a wonderful way to explain salvation, John chapter 3. And it's funny because Nicodemus, you know, he's a guy that knew his Bible and should have understood. Jesus made that very clear, and yet it was so simple, he couldn't understand it. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus, he recognizes Jesus is a great teacher. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because that first birth is a birth into sin, and so you have to be reborn. You're not going to be able to get to heaven based on that first birth. You have to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus is really struggling with that. He has a difficult time dealing with that because, again, in his mind, he's thinking, can a man enter into his mother's womb the second? Boy, that'd be a problem. Amen. I mean, that would really be a problem. And so, again, this whole idea is Jesus says you have to be born again. So immediately we start to think about being accepted as a newborn baby is accepted. Look at Luke 15, verse 10. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. And the Bible says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I mean, God sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. There is a joy and a thrill when somebody's born again. I don't know. There's nothing more exciting. And by the way, we understand this as we do hospital visits. What is the most exciting part of the hospital? You know, it's where the babies are born, right? I mean, it's exciting where the babies are born. It's loud sometimes, but there's shouting, and sometimes they're shouting with joy. But when a person is born again, they're shouting in heaven. There's joy. It's exciting. Amen. And God is happy about that. And again, God trains then. And 1 Peter 2, verse 2 talks about newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word. God helps us to desire. We have a desire for that milk of the word so that we can grow. And that's part of acceptance. Again, we feed those that are in our family. Amen. I don't necessarily feel an obligation to feed all the neighbor kids. But I do have an obligation to feed those in my family. And of course, God also provides. So there is an acceptance, just like a newborn baby is accepted into the family. And it's an acceptance with excitement. There's an acceptance. A second thing, as far as biblical examples, is something of great value. Amen? Something that has a great value. If somebody brings you a new car and they park it in your driveway and say, hey, I brought you this new car. I paid for it. Here's the keys. You're going to like that, aren't you? Something that has great value. Look at 2 Samuel 24 and verse 22. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 22. And as always, I'm running out of time. It's pitiful. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, threshing instruments, other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Talking about, and we know the story here, God's judgment is being poured out and King David wants to stop it and the plague has taken hundreds and thousands of people and David wants to stop it. And Araunah says, look, I'll let you have all this for free. And David says, no, 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 no. It's not a sacrifice. It's not worth anything unless there's a cost. And there's a value determined by the cost. Understand, all of us, we are of great value. I know, we get this, nobody cares, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms. You are of great value because Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You are of great, great value. There's an acceptance because of the value. And by the way, there's an acceptance of something of great value. It's going to be handled very carefully. Doesn't that make sense why we happen to be in Jesus' hand and also in the Father's hand? That's because we are of great value. Again, the value is based on what it costs. And it costs the blood of Jesus Christ. Ed, if you and the ushers want to go ahead and come, that'll be fine. I love that in John chapter 10. We're in his hand. We're in his hand. I know we all like the song, "He's got the whole world." Well, that's not anything like John chapter 10. He's got every Christian, every believer in his hand. I'm thinking about one time somebody took an egg and took all the yolk and everything out of it and then painted my wife a beautiful picture on that egg. You know what I'm talking about? You ever see those? Beautiful. Just somebody that was an artist. And so all you have is a shell. It's all been hollowed out and that's beautifully painted on there. And when my wife would handle it, it was so valuable to her. And I believe Angela broke it. But anyway, I'm not bitter about it. Acceptance. And so, again, biblical examples. We have the example, of course, as a newborn baby. We have the acceptance of something of great value. Then we have acceptance as Onesimus was in the book of Philemon. Remember that? Paul said, "I have this friend. I have this friend." And look, go there, Philemon. That's a good story. And a lot of times people we don't really pay attention to Philemon. It's a wonderful book. And it pictures exactly, that relationship and how we are accepted. Verse 17, chapter 1 will work in Philemon, if you can find it. And verse 17, it says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself," Paul said. Just like you would receive me, receive him. What a picture. "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." Isn't that beautiful? I love that. "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." Paul says, "Here's this guy is my friend. He's my friend. And so receive him just like you would receive me. And if he owes you anything, I'll pay it." And you see, we're accepted because Jesus said, "Put it on my account." If he is my friend, put any charge on my account. You know, when the devil accuses you and I, he's probably right. We probably did what he says. But Jesus stands up and says, "Put that on my account." Oh, I love it. Some of y'all to get excited. I know it's Sunday morning. And then the last thing, accepted as a prodigal son was. Remember the story of the prodigal son? We have so many good examples of acceptance. And the prodigal son is one of my favorites. I said it's the last one. Actually, I have another one. Actually, I could have several. But anyway, the prodigal son, you know the story. The prodigal, he decides to do his own thing, and he's going to go out and he's going to do his thing and live a wild life and everything but the father is at home waiting. And that prodigal son, he gets into a mess, doesn't he? I mean, he really gets into a mess. That's what happens when we get involved in sin. We get in a mess, and it's nasty. And it's interesting. Nobody's, the prodigal son, and I, I it, it's something when you study things out. And the prodigal son, he wasn't in church. You know, it's not like some preacher was yelling, screaming, hollering, and everything else. He is going through a tough, tough time because he's chosen to sin. And you know, he has nobody to blame. I mean, maybe the pigs were gossiping about him, and maybe the other barnyard animals were talking about him. He can't blame the church. He can't blame all the hypocrites and, well, they didn't treat me right. No, you know what, prodigal son? You did it all on your own to yourself. But the whole time, guess where daddy is? Every day, daddy's looking out, and he's watching, and he's waiting. And there's that acceptance as that father, as he went out. You know, that's my son. That's my son. He barely made it into. There isn't any barely making it into heaven. There's no such thing as that. No such thing. You know, the thief on the cross, when Jesus said, "You'll be with me today," do you understand? He didn't have time to go do anything for God. Are you all listening? Well, smile. Actually, I can't tell. I can only see the first three rows anyway. But I'm guessing some of you are still. But I know you need more coffee, right? But he didn't have time to go teach a Sunday school class. He didn't have time to go take a bus route. He didn't have time to go preach great revivals. And yet, he was accepted just like those who do. There's no such thing as barely making it. The prodigal son, you know when daddy went out and hugged him as he's coming down, Brother Perry, you know what he smelled like? Pig manure. That's what he smelled like. He didn't have any way to get all that cleaned off. But why was he? Because he was his son. Oh, I'm so glad I'm his son. Let me give you one more just to think about, because I'll actually talk a little bit about this in my message. Accepted as a husband accepts his wife on the wedding day. Amen? Boy, that's so good when you think about that and the pictures. That's why weddings, you know, people say, well, we're just going to live together. Yeah, that's because the devil wants you to get away from what the Bible says. Because the wedding day and weddings are a beautiful, beautiful picture of our relationship with the Lord as the bride and he the groom. And, you don't have to get into sexual and all that kind of stuff, but I'm talking about when the bride, I won't ever forget my bride standing at the end of the aisle ready to come to me. I'll never forget it. Now, my hands were all sweaty and I was all shook up and I was terrified, and it's so funny because young couple, they don't have to say anything. But I have, as their pastor, I've made it very clear what you are saying when you say, I do. That's all they have to, how do you forget I do? Right? I mean, I repeat after me. Okay, do you know your name? Good. I know your name too. I, Fred. Could you repeat that? It's your name, buddy. What is your... Anyway, but I know because I do remember. And I love watching the guy when he's standing here. And sometimes I have to tell him because he's terrified. I have to tell him, look back there. And when he does, it's so fun. It's like, you know, he's just... He should be, better be. You know, I'd hate for a guy to look over at his best man and say, what's the score of the game? Steve. But he would never do that. But you know, God is going to be thrilled to see us. He's going to be thrilled. You think we're thrilled. You hear me say that. I hope you don't get tired of hearing me say stuff. But I think about this. When Chuck, you know, 11 o'clock, I got a text, Chuck went to heaven, and immediately, I just stop and I start to think, wow, he's gone to the pearly gates and seen the pearly, he must be thrilled. But do you ever think that the Father's thrilled? Jesus is thrilled, the bride, Jesus is thrilled, you know? And wow, you know, it's just, And we are going to be thrilled. And when the rapture takes place, we always think, oh man, we are going to be so excited. He's excited. Acceptance. Don't pass over that verse again without maybe saying hallelujah. Because it is to the glory of God that we are accepted. Father, thank you for salvation, for the blood of Jesus Christ, for your acceptance with open arms because of Jesus. Help us not to forget it. God, forgive us for failing over and over again. Help us to love you and do right and please you with our lives. But I thank you so much that though we do fail, though we do sin, there's forgiveness because of the blood. And then there's acceptance. Bless our service now. Speak to our hearts this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.